My guest at this time is the Reverend Paul Estabrooks. He's a senior communications specialist with Open Doors USA, one of the leading organizations worldwide assisting the persecuted Christian church. Paul has been with Open Doors since 1979 and has seen some of the most horrific treatment for Christians around the world, and he's certainly more than well qualified to talk about the situation centering around the Iranian pastor, Youssef Nadarkhani, a Christian pastor, a leader of a house church, because that's about the only kind of Christian church you can have in Iran, who is now facing execution unless he recants his acceptance of Christ as his Savior. And Paul, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Bring our listeners up to date a little bit. How did this case get going in the first place?
Well, it all began as Pastor Youssef began to challenge the religious education of his two sons in the school where they live, about 150 miles northwest of Tehran, the capital. Now, he is about 32 years of age, has two boys, 9 and 7. He himself came to faith as a late teenager, about age 19, from a Muslim family, but he himself says he never practiced Islam, even as a young person, but he became a follower of Jesus. And his two boys were being indoctrinated with religious education classes in the secular school that he had sent them to. He complained about that because in the constitution of Iran, there is allowance for religious freedom. And actually, there are churches more than house churches in Iran. There are a lot of big churches in the main cities, primarily, however, for ethnic minorities like the next door Armenians who are Christian and who live in Iran. The challenge is if you're a Muslim convert and you go to one of those open churches, it's very obvious that you've become a believer, and it's a very difficult situation for you and for the church leaders themselves. So the many, many new believers are meeting in house churches, and he is leading a group of those house churches. Well, when he began to challenge this religious education of his children, he got hauled up to the court over it because of his background as a Muslim. And he was charged with apostasy, that is, leaving the Muslim faith. Which, of course, indirectly he had done. It is not in the Iranian constitution that this is anything wrong, but it is part of Sharia law, which is the Muslim law. Much of that developed from a book of writings of Muhammad and his followers called the Hadith. So he went to court over all of this, and they found him guilty of apostasy in court, that he had left Islam, which is not allowed under Sharia law, and he was given a death sentence. They appealed the case, and it went right to the Supreme Court of Iran in June of this year. They upheld the ruling, but asked the court to determine if he was truly a practicing Muslim before his conversion, and if so, if not, he could annul the death sentence by recanting his faith, by basically saying that he had returned to Islam. Well, just this weekend, there were two court cases, 2 days in a row. On both days, he refused to recant his faith, and we aren't sure now what exactly is going to be the outcome. He officially is facing a charge of apostasy and a death sentence, but there's been a tremendous outcry around the world, including from the United States, leaders even, about this situation, and so we're asking people to pray for him.
We're talking with Paul Estabrooks of Open Doors USA, and Paul, the interesting twist in this case is that, as you pointed out, the case being made by Pastor Youssef as well as his defenders is that he was never a serious practitioner of Islam, and now the explanation has come back that that's not acceptable, even if that's the case, and that, he comes from a Muslim family, and so the fact that he comes from a Muslim family means he can't convert to Christianity. Is that just a tightening of the grip of Sharia law, or are they just making up new law out of whole cloth?
Well, we're not sure, but what you state is exactly right. He admits that his parents were Islam, or followers of Islam. And, of course, so the court then says, well, then, if you were born into a family of mother and father being of the Islamic faith, then you were born a Muslim. And whether or not he actually lived by the religion or practiced the religion doesn't seem to matter in this case. However, his lawyer, who is not a Christian, is actually a little optimistic that the final appeals that they made may have some help, may hold some hope. But the believers from his church who have been interviewed recently, some of them just on North American radio in the last couple of days, indicate that they are not quite so optimistic. They're very fearful, and especially his wife and children are deeply concerned.
Even if the execution is lifted, Paul, is there a chance he would actually be freed, or would it simply be commuted to a long and horrific prison sentence?
It could be either case. And, you know, even if he was freed, we would need to pray for him even more because it's been a few years now, but in the middle 90s, another very public case like this occurred with a man named Mehdi Dibaj. And he was actually released after a lot of international pressure and a lot of prayer from Christians all over the world. And it was really celebrated. I mean, even Time magazine highlighted the story on using the title Answered Prayer, which kind of made me smile for a magazine like Time. I appreciated their understanding of the reality of the situation. But my point is that 6 months later, they found Mehdi Dibaj's body dead in a park with rope burns around his neck. And he was kind of a vigilante. There was a vigilante justice decided that he should have died. And so he did prematurely. And this is the situation. The challenge that the Christians in Iran are saying is that Yusuf, this brother Yusuf we're talking about now, is almost a hero in the eyes of the people because he's willing to stand up to the justice system and to be honest about his faith and to be straightforward. So if they release him, it's like he won, the courts lose. And it creates a loss of face, if you will. And so we need to pray for him whichever way it goes. And if he loses his life, perhaps this case would be the one to highlight the lack of freedom in that country.
Well, it's an incredibly disturbing story and certainly makes one grateful for the religious freedoms we have in our own country. Reverend Estabrooks, as always, sir, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome. Good to talk to you, Greg.
Thank you, sir. The Reverend Paul Estabrooks, Senior Communications Specialist with Open Doors USA. He's been with the organization and seen persecution around the world for more than 3 decades. You can find more about the organization at opendoorsusa.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.